your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 9, page 1160 in your Schofield Reference Bible, 1160. Beginning with verse 10, we'll read through verse 21, and we'll read the verses responsibly. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day you've given us. We thank you that a wonderful day is not entirely dependent upon the weather. It's just a good day when we can come to church and see faithful people and hear a faithful preacher. It's a good day when we can hear from thee through the man of God. And we pray that you'd help us tonight. We need something more than what we have. And we believe that we can get it if we'll but listen and give our attention to the preaching. Thank you for the wonderful music, the spirit that we feel here as we share time together, and now as we listen to our preacher. Bless him and us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of course, those of you that remember Dr. John Rice will recognize that was one of his songs. Many of his songs, I was with him when he wrote. I think I was with him when he wrote that song. I think that was written while he and I were together in a conference. And Brother Daniel, you scared me to death. You finished the song, and I was about to get up and preach, and then you sang that last line over again. You didn't do very well on it the first time, but you improved it the second time. And But Dr. Rice has a certain way about writing his songs, and the song that we sing on Sunday night, We'll Never Say Goodbye in Glory, also written by my good friend Dr. Rice, with whom I shared the pulpit over 2,200 times in meetings around the world, across America, and of course I'm always glad to hear his songs. Tonight I'm going to bring a message about a man, as far as I know, I've never preached about before. I'm going to speak on Ananias, not the one who was married to Sapphira, who lied to God, but the one who was used by God to to encourage and confirm the call of the Apostle Paul, at that time called Saul of Tarsus, his call to the ministry. I will soon preach my 68,000th sermon. If I can preach another 2 or 3 years, I will have preached over 70,000 sermons. I do not know if anybody's ever preached that many. And I'm going to keep on preaching until I preach a good one then. I'm going to retire, I've never, in all these years, to my knowledge, preached on this particular Ananias, one of the greats in the Bible, an unsung hero. And now you'll explain, you'll know why. Many of you already know why, but you'll certainly know why in a few moments. My title is "Don't Call Me, I'll Call You." Don't call me, I'll call you. As I speak on this great man. Little known, unsung, and yet great in the real sense of the word greatness. Father, bless me as I speak tonight. I pray you to help me to be what you want me to be and what our people need me to be. Do thou something in this service unique, unusual, to the glory of God. Amen. I prepared this message several weeks ago, probably even several months ago. For those of you who are not acquainted with my ministry, I do not prepare sermons for the next Sunday. I am constantly preparing sermons. Howes will tell you that anytime I have even a few minutes off, I'll rush to a desk somewhere and I'll work on preparing sermons, and I try to prepare sermons that I think that you will need soon. And this sermon was prepared, I'm guessing, 2 or 3 months ago. I planned to preach it at Howes Anderson College. However, though it is a sermon that's very applicable to preachers and ministerial students, it certainly is so applicable to others, I felt that I should not limit this message to the students at Howes Anderson College. I hope you'll listen very carefully as I speak on the subject, "Don't Call Me, I'll Call You," about this amazing man, Ananias. Father, bless me now, please, as I speak. Use me again tonight, as you have through these years so many times. Amen. I'm going to make 8 statements tonight, and how this sermon turns out, I don't know. It may be more like a lecture. It may be a hell of fire and damnation. It may be quiet. It may be loud. It all depends on how well you listen. It may be short. It may be long. It all depends on how well you listen and how much you say amen while I'm preaching. I should tell you that the more you say amen, the longer I plan to make it. I forgot to tell you that. But I'm going to make 8 statements tonight about this story. First, let me just remind you the story. The Lord appeared to Ananias, and he said, "Ananias," he said, "I want to tell you about a little call I'd like for you to make. I want to tell you the street and the name of the person who lives on the street. I want you to go see him." And Ananias said, "Listen carefully," and God said, "His name is Saul of Tarsus." Now, you understand, you're aware, I'm sure, that 7 criminals have escaped the Texas penitentiary, and they're dangerous. They're on the loose tonight. If God came to you and said, "I want you to go spend a while with one of these criminals," you'd have said, "Yes, I did eat too many onions on my hamburger last night, and this is not God. Prove the Spirit." But that's what happened. You see, Saul of Tarsus was a religious zealot dedicating his life to actually murdering God's people. And he did it in the name of God. He murdered God's people and the followers of Jesus Christ. He would put some in bonds and others he would murder.
And he was known as one of the most vicious men and enemies of the gospel in the entire world. So God comes to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I want you to go visit Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus said what you said. He didn't say as much as you would have said. He said, wait a minute. That's in the Greek. You'll not find that in English. He said, holy cow. This is in the version of, what's that announcer? Harry Carey version of the Bible, which is just as near Bible as NIV, by the way, in case you'd like to know that. But he said, holy cow, I'm not about to go talk to this guy. Why, this guy has been killing Christians, and he binds them and puts them in jail. And the Lord said, no, don't worry about that now. He's a chosen vessel. I've called him. He's saved now. And I want you to go, and I want you to help him and lay your hands on him and confirm. And I've also told Saul of Tarsus about this, and he'll be looking for you when you get there. Now, eight statements about this story. Statement number one, and this does not relate a little bit much to the story by introduction. Number one, God knows what is best for you. He knows what's best. He also knows the past. He knows the future. And he has every weapon and everything at his disposal to see to it that he gets to you his will for your life. I said, number one, God knows what is best for you. Number two, by the way, number eight will not come as quickly after number seven as number two did after number one. So ladies, don't begin to put your shoes on yet. Now, number two, God loves you and wants to direct you. God wants to tell you his will more than you want to know his will. God wants you to do his will more than you want to do his will. I said, number one, God knows what is best for you, and he knows the past and the future. I said, number two, God loves you and wants to direct you. Listen carefully now. You won't have to beg God to direct you to do what he wants you to do. Here's Ananias. He didn't say, oh God, I need to go to somebody that's been called a chosen vessel. Lead me the right one. Ananias is busy doing what he ought to do. And God came to Ananias, and I said again, you won't have to beg God if you meet certain conditions I'll mention after a while. You won't have to beg God to give you directions where he wants you to go. I said, number one, God knows what is best for you. I said, number two, God loves you and wants to direct you. Number three, God can communicate with you. Now, God has no particular way he communicates. He communicates in the Bible. Sometimes an angel came and communicated to man from God. Sometimes by a dream. Sometimes in the case of Balaam, a donkey was the one whom God used, so God can use you. And a fellow wrote me a letter, and he said, you remind me of Balaam's donkey. I wrote back and said, yes, and he had more sense than Balaam did, who was riding him also. And you're riding me, so use the application any way you want to. But I'm simply saying that God can communicate. Listen, God can get his will revealed to you, and God can get his word revealed to you, and he can communicate with you. If God wants me to do or not do any particular thing, God finds a way of letting me know. Now, it's not always the same, as I said a while ago. God does not put up with the coast to communicate with him exactly as he does with me concerning his will. He does not always communicate with the Matt Millen as he would with the Colston. But God has ways of communicating. Now, let me say this. There's a part of my ministry, my call to preach, that I seldom tell you. It has to do with the dream I had. I'm not sure if I've ever told it to you. I may or may not have, but I don't tell it often, if ever, about the dream I had. You know why? Because then some preacher boy is going to say, oh God, give me a dream. Or he may have a dream and God didn't send it. And he may think that God sent it. So God does not always direct each of us the same way. Now, somebody asked me, and this is a preacher language now. Somebody asked me, Brother House, how do you know when you're called to preach? I never tell how. I simply say, you'll know it. You'll know it. Some way, there'll be a sweet, settled peace in your breast that God made me to be a pastor or a preacher. Now, don't you tell God, for example, this stuff about putting out the fleece, we call it. Now, if you put it out exactly like the Bible fleece was put out, that's one thing. But this thing, oh, dear Lord, if you want me to be a preacher, you let somebody 65 years old get saved in the service this morning. Now, that's dumb. You don't quit telling God how to talk to you. God knows how to get word to you, and God wants to get that word to you. And by the way, when God does get that word to you, you will know it's of God, and a sweet, settled peace will be in your breast that this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, how that peace gets there is not the call of God. The peace being there is the call of God. I said, number one, God knows what is best for you. I said, number two, God loves you and wants to direct you. I said, number three, God can communicate with you. Number four, hear me carefully, it will not be sought. It will not be sought. You will be hard-pressed to find anybody in the Bible who found the will of God by looking for it. Let me say it again. You'll be hard-pressed to find anybody in the Bible who found the will of God by looking for it. Now, I'm not talking about the revealed will of God in the book. This is the true will of God. I'm talking about directions that are not actually in the Bible. You'll be hard to find anybody in the Bible who found the will of God by seeking the will of God. Ananias did not seek the will of God. God came to him and surprised him and said, I've got something I want you to do. Now, if you'll spend more time obeying the word of God and less time seeking the will of God, God will get word to you what you're supposed to do with your life. Moses, shot to death when God called him. Why, he said, I can't do that. I'm not a good public speaker. I can't do that. Shot to death. Gideon, I've often said, Gideon was the runt kid of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation of the world. And when God came, he was hiding behind the wine press, threshing wheat. And God said, all hail, thy mighty man of valor. And you'll check the next three words. Gideon said, oh, my Lord. The last thing in the world he was thinking about was that God was going to speak to him that day. Gideon was busy doing the last order that God had given him. And when you get busy doing what God has already said, you won't have too much time trying to figure out what to do in the future. David. Jesse didn't even bring David out to show Samuel. Thinking the least likely of his, well, not any likelihood at all, that David would be the chosen one to be the king of Israel. And David certainly was surprised when God called him. Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. I'm just a child. I can't speak in your name. He was shocked when God came and called him. Isaiah. Philip was busy preaching when God surprised him and told him to go down to Gaza and win the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus Christ. Jonah was surprised when he was called. And certainly, Ananias. Let me say this. Don't miss this. I'm giving you some good advice tonight. Preacher fellows, quit looking for churches. You want the best way in the world for God to give you a good church? You get so busy on your bus route around here, so busy on your Bible club, so busy winning folks to Christ, that somebody here will notice that you are on fire for God, and one of these days God's going to look down, and God's not looking for somebody who's out in the pasture praying for his will. God's looking for somebody who's going door to door doing the revealed will of God in his book. You can take that beyond also. Don't seek a mate. I said, don't seek a mate. God will let you know when she comes. Or God will let you know when he comes. And some of you gals that came to House Anderson College to get a husband, you better watch it carefully. Because we got some duds out there. And you better watch it carefully. You come to House Anderson College to learn the Bible, learn how to serve God like a man would. Don't you seek a mate. God has his way. Hey, God can send the right fellow to you. Do, however, spend a lot of time around the lake. Because almost everybody gets married, they meet at the lake or propose around the lake. I'm 74 years of age. I have been preaching 55 years. I've been pastoring over 53 years. I have pastored 5 churches. I have preached over 67,000, nearly 68,000 sermons. Hear me now. I have never sought a position. I have never asked for a place to preach. And by the way, I don't have to ask for a place to preach as long as there's a street corner somewhere. As long as there's a jailhouse somewhere. As long as there's a hospital somewhere. I don't have to ask for a place to preach. I have never asked for a place to preach, and I never will ask for a place to preach. And these evangelists going around the country calling up saying, can I preach for you next Sunday? You pastors don't have them. Don't have them. God said to Ananias, I've got a job to do. I say, it will not be sought. 67 men sought this church 41 and a half years ago. 67 men sent in an application to the pastorate of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and I was not one of them. You have his main will right there. And if you will not, and by the way, you know this is his will. If you have a dream and think God speaks to you, it may be God, or it may be you over eight. But you don't know for sure. But you know for sure this is God speaking. Now, if you'll get more concerned about obeying what's written down than what God will give you in a dream somewhere, God will get to you, and God will reveal to you what is not written in this book if you'll be busy doing what is written in this book. I said, number one, God knows what is best for you. I said, number two, he loves you and wants to direct you. I said, number three, God can communicate with you, and he will do it in his way and not your seeking a certain way. Number four, it will not be sought. Number five, it will come as a surprise. Ananias was shocked to death. God said, Ananias, I want you to go talk to this murderer. Multi-murder, serial murder, Saul of Tarsus. Every Christian in the country knew Saul of Tarsus, and he was a terror. Ananias was surprised. 17-year-old girl named Jean Lambert worked at J.C. Penney Company when I was a student at East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas. I worked at J.C. Penney Company in the men's department. Pastor of church also, and worked in the men's department at J.C. Penney Company. A little 17-year-old girl named Jean Lambert called me over one day and said, Jack, she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, I play the piano at a church out in the country. Don't have a pastor. She said, we're going to vote next Wednesday night on a pastor, a Mr. Smith and a Mr. Jones, by the way, their names. We're going to vote on them, but we don't have anybody to preach this Sunday. And somebody heard that you are a preacher, that I knew you, and I was wondering if you'd just like to supply this Sunday and preach for us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, I didn't go to her and say, understand that church out there is without a pastor. I knew they were without a pastor, but it's his business to tell me and not my business to tell her. That's how I got the contact with the Grange Hall Baptist Church. That building out there is the building that we had down in East Texas. That's how I got the contact. I preached out there. Most of you have not heard this. Some of you have through the years. Most of you have not. I preached out there that Sunday. And not candidating. They had two fellows that were going to vote, Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones. And I had been called to the First Baptist Church of Leesburg, Texas with the unanimous call. The next Wednesday night, the deacon chairman got up, and his name was Mr. Roberts, and he said, we're going to have a vote now. We have the ballots passed out, and we had 53 people that were qualified to vote, and members of the church, and they passed out the ballot and said, check Mr. Jones or check Mr. Smith. Well, Mr. Smith got 17 votes. Mr. Jones got 9 votes. But the teenagers in the church got together, and they liked me so well, just as teenagers still do, they liked me so well, they wrote in my name down at the bottom. I wasn't even on the ballot. And I got 27 votes, and Jones and Smith got a total of 26. Mr. Roberts stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, something very irregular has happened. He said, this kid Hiles that preached out here last Sunday, he got one more vote than Jones and Smith got, but there's no way these votes can count because these are teenage votes. I got one adult vote, Mrs. Lambert. She was up here, by the way, a few years ago to visit. Mrs. Lambert stood up and said, I'm the only adult that voted for the House. But Mr. Roberts said, these kids can't call a pastor. She said, our Constitution says anybody who's a member of this church can vote to call a pastor. And Mrs. Lambert said, so Jack Hiles is now been called as pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. Mr. Roberts had a conniption fit backwards. And I won't tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you this. I was surprised. Now you listen to me. I'll say this over and over again before I get through. I have a book of instructions here, and that'll keep you busy until you hear from headquarters. You little penny-anny preacher boys here at Hiles Anderson College, some of you. Sitting around and spending the morning going to class, afternoon playing basketball, and the night nights dating, never win a soul to Christ, never build a bus route, never build a Bible club. All you're interested in is getting some pretty little girl to bow before your big physique. Let me tell you something, Buster. Get out of ministry and do God a favor. I say it'll come as a surprise to you. I was preaching a revival meeting at the Westmoreland Heights Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, my hometown. Sunday morning, closed revival, it's the closing day. I got to preach, and about four or five fellows sitting back there together hollered, Amen! Well, this church was not an amening kind of a church, and I was surprised. After the service, these fellows walked up to me and said, we're a pulpit committee from the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. We're interested in you, thinking about coming to pastor our church. I never heard of the Miller Road Baptist Church. I never heard of that pulpit committee. I knew nothing about that church looking for a pastor. But I'll tell you what I was busy doing what God had written down in this book. Now, I want to say it again. I'll say it over and over again. You get busy doing what God has said to do, and God is perfectly able to get word to you when he wants to move you on somewhere. You check with these great preachers around the country with Hiles Anderson College. You listen to their testimonies. Listen to Brother Trout when he preaches Wednesday night, weakness Wednesday night. Listen to the missionaries that are successful. Steve Heidenreich. Listen to Randy Taylor. And Keith Gomez. And listen to all the great preachers that have gone out from Hiles Anderson College. And there's one thing they have in common. They were here, they got busy obeying the commands of Almighty God. I say it'll come as a surprise. Preachers say, I feel restless. Well, the best way to get over that is to go to work. I feel my work is finished. You sorry rascal, you never started it. Or, I'm not happy here. Well, let me just tell you that the purpose of the will of God is not to make you happy, it's to get people out of hell. That's what it's all about. Or I just someday want to do so and so. I said again, number one, God knows what's best for you. Number two, God loves you and God wants to direct you. Number three, God can communicate with you. Number four, it will not be sought. Number five, it will come as a surprise. And number six, you probably won't want to do it when it comes. If you are doing what you ought to do where you are, you'll be so happy where you are, you won't want to change. God said to pry me away from every church I've ever pastored. I never have wanted to leave where I was. I said, you probably will not want. Ananias didn't want to. Ananias, I got a murderer I want you to go talk to. He's looking for Christians like you. Now, Ananias didn't want to do that. Listen carefully to me. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, this is what I want to do with my life. Let me tell you something. You change your wanter to his wanter. Lord, you can't be sending me to Saul of Tarsus. He's had your people placed in chains. He's your enemy. He's a murderer. Why, he stood by Stephen when he was stoned to death and did not lift a finger to save Stephen. In fact, he held the coats of those who were killing Stephen, and you want me to go? Yes, I want you to go. Listen, I've never wanted to leave a church. You know why? because I happen to love obeying the word of God wherever I am. I said, you probably won't want to. Number seven, it may not make sense to you. This made no sense to Ananias. It makes sense at all. But it doesn't have to make sense. When you get so busy for God, obeying what God has said in this book, that God reveals to you where He wants you to do what you're already doing, and God's not going to call you to do something you're already doing. It may come as a surprise. It may not make sense. It didn't make sense for me. Take that LaGrange Hall Baptist Church when I got 27 votes, 27 for me, and 26 against me. When the First Baptist Church of Leesburg, Texas, had given me a unanimous call, it did not make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense to you as long as it makes sense to Him. When I was called to the Great Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Ms. Hiles and I were in a little church in Henderson, Texas, growing, lovely parsonage, nice salary, good future. All of a sudden, 44 people from Garland, Texas, called us. They had no parsonage. We had no place to live. I canceled my life insurance because I couldn't afford life insurance premiums. And by the way, too, you preacher boys, some church calls you, and you say, well, how much do you pay? And they tell you, and you say, well, I just couldn't afford to feed my family on that salary. Do God a favor and be a plumber or a carpenter or a bricklayer and get your stinking carcass out of the ministry. I had no salary, no place to live, canceled my insurance, but lived an upper middle class life in Henderson, Texas. And then it just didn't make sense, but it did to him. We were in Garland, Texas, fastest growing church in the world, 22 miles from my wife's folks, 22 miles from my mother and my sister, 22 miles from the church where we'd grown up together and the neighborhood where we'd live. We lived there for life. But all of a sudden, a call came from a town. I didn't know where Hammond, Indiana was. I had no idea. I just figured they made Hammond organs here, but they don't. They make Sut here. And I happened to see a sign, Hammond, Indiana, and another, Hammond, Indiana. Oh, praise God, this chaffin is driving down the street. I saw a sign that said, Maui, Hawaii. I did not seek it. I didn't ask God to send me to Maui. He just spoke to me. Is all. But it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for us to go to Grange Hall Baptist Church, Miller Road Baptist Church, or First Baptist Church at Hammond. Number eight. Get this now. Hear me carefully. It will not come in answer to prayer. It will come in answer to work. God does not reveal His will, which is not written in this book. He does not reveal that will in answer to your prayers. He reveals His will in answer to your work. When I was in the Army, paratroopers, for those who walk guard, we have the general orders. The last general order said, continue at the last command until you hear from headquarters. Now, wherever God led you, you keep on obeying this book wherever it is, until God directs you to go somewhere else or do what He's written down here somewhere else. You know how I started pastoring? I had no church. Ms. Hiles and I were a young couple, East Texas Baptist College. I went out in the country. Drove up and down in country roads. I built me a brush arbor. And which is simply some brush over the top of a netting I put there, and post on the side, to keep us out of the rain, maybe, or out of the heat of the day. I'd build a brush arbor. I'd go down the country road and stop at every house and say, I'm having preaching down here tonight. I've got a fellow that's going to play a trombone or play an accordion, and I'm going to preach tonight. I want you to come. And I'd go out in the country and preach those revivals. I've started 16 churches that way, by the way, in years gone by. I preached those revivals. I didn't say to the nearest pulpit committee, would you recommend me? Nor did I even contact Howells Anderson College and say, could you help me find a church? Let me tell you something. If you get this to doing what God said in that book, God needs people to do something big. God needs folks in big cities across America. God needs people on mission field. And God is looking for somebody who's already doing it. Somebody that's trying to figure out, can I do it? I'm tired of preachers saying, I don't have a place to preach at this time. Well, good night, get on. I preach those revivals myself. Nobody invited me. I'd build my own brush arbor. I'd make my own seats, slat benches. I'd build them myself. Every week I went down to the city hall, city park, and preached under the pavilion at City Park, whoever would show up. Every Wednesday night, I went out to a church of black people and taught the Bible to the little church of black people every Wednesday night. Every Friday night, I went to the tuberculosis sanatorium in Tyler, Texas, and preached those people dying of tuberculosis. And folks began to hear about it. And folks heard about it. You heard about this house, fella. I heard him preach on under the pavilion at City Park. Or I was driving down the highway and saw him preaching there a brush arbor. This house, fella. And before long, I was getting invitations to preach at churches. Before long, I was pastoring a church. And that's the way it all started. I'm saying it will not come in answer to prayer. It'll come in answer to work. Listen carefully. You have plenty of God's will in that book. And by the way, you've got enough to keep you busy the rest of your life if you never hear from heaven. It gives you His will about money. It gives you His will about marriage. It gives you His will about soul winning. It gives you His will about not going to law against a fellow Christian. It gives you His will about rearing children. It gives you His will about forgiveness. It gives you His will about how to treat other Christians, and much more. So spend all of your time seeking God's will that is written down in this Bible. That's the question. You think God's going to call somebody and reveal His will to them that's not doing what He already said? God's not that dumb. I've said this so often. I've been on foreign fields. This world is filled with missionaries, not Howells Anderson graduates, but this world is filled with missionaries who are right in the center of the geographical will of God, disobeying the written will of God. And I've said before so many times, the what of the will of God is more important than the where. I'd rather be obeying this Bible 3,000 miles away from where I'm supposed to do it and be disobeying it right in the center of God's geographical will. But God called me to go to Phoenix, Arizona, and I felt like I was supposed to go to Danbury, Connecticut. And I was 3,000 miles away from where God wanted me, but if I was winning everybody to Christ in Danbury, Connecticut, I could. I've got more respect for a fellow that's 3,000 miles outside where God wants him, doing what God has written down in this book, than some lazy rascal that's sitting on his blessed assurance somewhere, disobeying the written will of God because he's satisfied that he's in the geographical will of God for his life. Do what he says. Do what he says. This, ladies and gentlemen, is 99% of the will of God for your life. 99% of the will of God for your life. And you don't have too much time. Now, I'm for prayer, don't misunderstand me. But I'm not for you praying about where you're supposed to obey what He's written down here. people contact me and say, "Well, how's we looking for a pastor? Anybody you want to recommend?" Sure, I say. This fellow here, about 6'4", graduated last year, broad shoulders, barrel chest, reminds me of me. And talented, has charisma, all the girls want to date him. Again, reminds me the way I was. All the girls want to date him. Was the all-star basketball player in the intramural basketball, Hal Venison College? Well, how many souls did he win? He was 6'4", 240 pounds, barrel-chested, all-star basketball player, soccer player, football player, intramural. What size restaurant do we have? He was 6'4". I wouldn't recommend that fellow to be a dog catcher. I've got too much respect for canines. Well, I'll tell you, let me tell you something. You take a little fellow like Rick Martin, who came to Hal Anderson College with a short drink of water. I dare if you guys weighed 100 pounds, dripping wet and full of bananas. Now you folks weigh 250 full of baloney, but anyway. What did Rick Martin do? Same thing that these other great men of God did. He got busy. The other day I was behind some of our graduates. They didn't know I was listening. They were talking about the days of Hal Anderson College. One of them said to the other, "Remember our bus route? Huh? Hey, remember we worked the same bus route?" Another fellow said, "Boy, those are some of the best days of our lives." They didn't say, "We both tried to date the same girl. One of them got her, the other one lived happily ever afterwards. We played on the same soccer team. We loafed together in the afternoon." No, sir. But the world country is full of a bunch of Hal Anderson College dropouts who did nothing while they were in college, trying to find out where God wants them to go do nothing. I say, number one, he knows what's best for you. Number two, he loves you and wants to direct you. Number three, he can communicate with you. Number four, it will not be sought. Ananias did not seek it. Number five, it will come as a surprise, as it was the case to Ananias. Number six, you probably will not want to do it, as was the case to Ananias. Number seven, it may not make sense to you, as was the case with Ananias. And number eight, it will not come in answer to prayer. It will come in answer to work, as was the case with Ananias, Gideon, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, and other great men of the Bible. What I'm trying to say tonight is whether you've been saved 20 minutes or 25 years or 50 years, you've got a book of instruction here. But the tragedy is most of you haven't read it this week. You've got a book of instruction. And all over America, Christian people are saying, "I just don't see it that way." You don't have to see it, just read it. Read it. "Well, Brother Hiles, I just don't agree with the fact that it's wrong for women to wear pants." Well, it so happens it don't give a flip what you think or what I think. God says that a woman shouldn't wear men's clothing. Well, Mr. Carter said, the ex-president of the United States, he said, "I'm a born-again Christian. I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that part where a woman's supposed to be in subjection to her husband." "But I'm sorry, Mr. Carter. It's none of your business to decide what God's right on, what God's wrong on." I said, "He will not come and answer prayer." I said, and the most important thing I said, spend all of your time seeking God's will that's written in the Bible. All of it. All of it. And none of it seeking God's will that's not in the Bible. And when you get so wrapped up in reading and obeying what God's will that is written down is, but you know God knows your phone number. He knows where you live. This guy right here, Ray Young. Why, he's the least likely person in the house ever since college. I always thought it would turn out right, and I was right in my prediction. Wait a minute. He was hired to sweep the bus barn. That's where he started. But some of you were too important to sweep the bus barn. But when you get his age, you'll be sweeping the bus barn. Don't ask me to hire you. I wouldn't hire you to sweep it. But wait a minute. This man was hired to sweep the bus barn and to clean it out. Now he's in charge of the biggest bus ministry in the world. He didn't seek it. When I asked him to come to work, he was shocked. But the vineyard left and I said, who could take your place? He said, Ray Young could do it. I said, Ray Young? No way, Jose. Ray Young. That's for you Spanish people. Ray Young. I said, Brother Ray, would you be willing to be me? And what was he busy doing? Building the bus route, sweeping the bus barn. I say it again, ladies and gentlemen. This world is waiting for a bunch of Christians who spend time in this book trying to find the instructions. Mrs. Howells and I are the world's worst. We never read instructions. Never. First place, we're too smart. We can put something together without having to read this and this and this and this. In fact, we read the manual to the last car she had after we sold it. They're putting a wreath upon our parsonage we used to live in. Big wreath. Well, I'm a handyman. Anything we need done at our place, I can call Randy and Jesse and have them come and do it. But this was a job for a man. They're hanging this big wreath up outside the house. I said, I'll take care of this, baby. I got a huge ladder. Giant ladder. Put that thing up beside the house. When I got up where the wreath was supposed to be, I was still 10 feet away from it. Mrs. Hiles, very sweetly, gets the kitchen stool. Little, what do you call them? Stool. That kind of hat. She brings it out there. She says, Jayak, try this. And I put the wreath up. But see, we got the same problem you got. You don't want to read the instructions. And that's why you got your life mixed up like everything we ever tried to assemble at our place got mixed up. Now, here is your book. This book is not something you're supposed to just read once a day because you're supposed to do it. It's your instruction book. And your life is going to be put together just like the stuff we put together at our house before we don't read the instruction book. You get in this book, you live in this book, you love this book, you read this book, and once you find what it says, do it! And God will look down someday and say to you, like he said to Gideon, you're busy doing what I told you to do. I've got something bigger. David, you're busy taking care of the sheep. I've got something bigger. Moses, you're busy obeying the last command. I've got something bigger. Jeremiah, you've been busy doing what you're supposed to do. I've got something bigger. Ananias, I got a job for you to do. Me? Now? I don't want to. This is a shock to me. But Ananias lives in the annals of religious history because Ananias was the one who nurtured the baby Christian, whose name was Saul of Tarsus. I say it again and close. Spend all of your time seeking God's written will in the Bible, and He will reveal to you His will that is not mentioned in the Bible. Shall we stand? You'll obey the Holy Spirit as He talks to you tonight.